This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواج أمهات المؤمنين وعلى من اتبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. My dear respected brothers, and if we have sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Man, you guys are asleep or something. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. When I came all the way from the U.S. to you, not just from the shores of the U.S., from Colorado, or out there in the desert, towards California, you know, far out land. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So I was surprised that you asked me to do the last verses, two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. So obviously this is the last two verses in the longest chapter in the Quran. So for you really to comprehend the last two verses, you have to comprehend what? Seriously, you think those two verses have nothing to do with the surah? It's part of the surah, right? You agree? And actually the concluding message. So it must in a way sum up the message of the surah. Don't we normally try to make up a conclusion that encompasses what was previously said in our speeches and even in our articles? Isn't that the fashion? The same thing. So, I don't know how long I have. I think it's like 45 minutes, right? Is it 45 minutes that I share? Talk to me. I don't speak English or something. I have accent. This is American accent. You guys understand my accent? Is my English clear? So somehow I feel like there is a disconnect there. Or I feel like I'm coming from the moon or something. No, seriously. How long do I still have? 45 minutes. So imagine in 45 minutes we have to explain Surah Al-Baqarah to be able to understand the last two verses. And we're going to attempt to do that. And I promise you I'll finish on time. But with one promise, that you hold the Quran. You know, if you're going to spend the time here anyways, unless your mom, you know, force you to be here, or your wife, whoever. Well, if you're going to stay here, just have a Quran in a language that you can understand. So meaning the meanings in the language that you understand. Of course, the Quran is Arabic. Right? We're good? Everybody has a Quran? You don't have a Quran, do you? Where is your Quran? Come on, find a Quran, young man. Get a Quran, come on. You can do that. Where is your Quran? Nah, your own Quran. Come on, you're a big sheikh, come on. Find the Quran. Connect with the Quran, guys. This is the book of Allah. Imagine this is one of the attributes of Allah we have at hand. Sifatul Kalam, the attribute of speech. Here, right here. Tayyib, the first question I want to ask you is Surah Al-Baqarah Madani or Makki? طيب, what is the difference, just for me to know the level we're dealing with, what is the difference between a madani and a makki, and what decides that? Yes. So anything that is revealed in Medina is madani, and anything that is revealed in Mecca is makki. Right? Is that what you're saying? طيب. Anyone, do you guys agree to this? Okay, that's that line. Because there are a lot of Quran that was revealed, like Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum in Surah Al-Ma'idah, which is Madani. But it was revealed where? In Mecca. So, really the line that divides the two is Al-Sheikh Al-Hijrah. The Hijrah, anything that was revealed before Hijrah is considered to be Makki, and anything that is revealed after Hijrah is considered to be Madani. So Surah Al-Baqarah is Madani. طيب, here is another question. Is the order of the Mus'haf tawqifi or ijtihadi? The order of the surahs. We know the first chapter revealed in the Quran was what? Surah Iqra. You know what number in the Mus'haf? 96. So obviously the Quran is not in the order of its descendants. You agree? Right? Now the question I'm asking you, is this order that we have, tawqifi or ijtihadi? Do you know the difference between the two? What is tawqifi? That Allah instructed the Prophet ﷺ to put that order. Or the companions, after the Prophet passed away, they made that order. Which one? It's tawqifi. Logically, psychologically, all type. Although, I want to tell you that there are some scholars who actually believe it's ijtihadi. There are actually scholars, but the majority, they say it's tawqifi, because if it was ijtihadi, if it was left to the Sahaba to decide, obviously we would have different masahif with different order, right? You agree? Because the Sahaba would differ in something like that, because there is a ground to differ. طب, have you ever asked yourself why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Surah Al-Baqarah to come at the beginning of the Mus'haf? Have you ever asked that question? Why Al-Baqarah? Obviously Al-Fatiha makes, because the entire Quran explains Al-Fatiha, and Al-Fatiha is the opener. But why Al-Baqarah is the first chapter in the Mus'haf, although it's Madani? Why? Because Surah Al-Baqarah gives every Muslim ID. That's your ID. Your identification, who you are. Surah Al-Baqarah has 286 verses. What is the middle number of 286? Huh? What? One what? He has like answer like, you're afraid I'm going to beat you up or something. Make a mistake, it's okay, you know. One what? Huh? 143. Okay, that's the British accent. 143. That's the American way. Okay, here you go. Top, can you look and see what this verse says? That's your ID. That's, did you find it yet? Not yet? 143? You didn't find it yet? Can someone read it for me? وكذلك جعلناكم أمة وسطا لتكونوا شهداء على الناس ويكون الرسول عليكم شهيدا. That is your identity. You're a witness over mankind. Why? Obviously, your messenger is the last messenger. There will be no messenger after Rasulullah, right? Sahih? Right? And your Quran, your revelation is the final revelation. So logically, who will convey Islam to the rest of the world? The Prophet did his mission. It's you and me. ولذلك in the farewell sermon, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, في الحديث, when he addressed his companions, he said, أيها الناس, O Muslims, be informed that there will be no prophet after me, no book after me. One day you will be asked about me, what will you say? And then towards the end, he said, بلغوا عني ولو آية. Now it's your role, your job to convey. Imagine the companions of the Prophet, Ya Ikhwa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Radwanullahi Alayhim Jamia, they took this command so seriously. Imagine that. They dispersed on earth. Within 12 years, Islam went to Turkey, to Azerbaijan, to Georgia collapsed, the Byzantine threatened. But things what? Died out again. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding you of your mission. Now, we read the Quran, ya ikhwa, to figure out who we are and what we're supposed to do in this world. That's exactly Allah is telling you. I have chosen you to convey my message after me. Why did Allah say, kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas? Why? Because the only ummah that Allah entrusted the followers of their messenger to convey the message after him. This is why Al-Baqarah was put at the very front of the Mus'haf. Now, Al-Baqarah is very interesting because it talks about the qualities which you must have to witness. And by the way, the witnessing, not only in this world, but in the hereafter too. In the hereafter, we know, in explaining that verse, Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, compiled hadith Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, radiyallahu anhu, that on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would call upon the people of Nuh, and he will ask them, did Nuh convey a message to you? They will say, no, never. They will actually deny that they received a messenger. Allah will ask Prophet Nuh, did you? Yes, I did. من يشهد لك? Who can bear witness that you did that? محمد وأمته صلى الله عليه وسلم. Muhammad and his ummah. Imagine the land of gathering, Prophet Nuh will actually ask you to come to his help. Allah will call upon us. Did Nuh convey the message? Yes, he did. ما علمكم? How did you learn? قرأنا القرآن. We recited the Quran. It was mentioned in the Quran. فهذه شهادة الآخرة. This is the witnessing in the الآخرة. في الدنيا, in the dunya, how do you witness? I'm sure you guys have the Jehovah's Witness here. We have them in America. Very nicely dressed people, and they come and, you know. You know, this is exactly your job. Exactly. They are actually doing what Muslims should be doing, but actually our witnessing is a little bit different. It's not knocking on doors or something. No. Our witnessing by embodying Quran, embodying the religion, living the religion. One of the predecessors, Hisham, asked Aisha about the character of the Prophet. What did she say? I wouldn't use that woken Quran thing because that's, you know, support to Mu'tazila, that the Quran is created. The embodiment of the Quran. He was what? Did you read the Quran? He was the Quran. Illustration of the Quran. In his character, the way he speaks, the way he talks. That's how we witness. Of course, Abu al-A'la had Maududi, if you're familiar with him, had a very interesting writing on this matter. He said, there are three ways that we witness. Kalima, through the kalima, which is da'wah. Like some brothers would go out, like Sheikh Uthman, if you're familiar with Farooq, he would go on the street and what, put his da'wah booth there. And this is one. Action, that you actually act your character. You know, you don't lie, you don't cheat, you don't backbite, you pray five times a day, wherever you are. You live Quran, you live Islam. But here is the governance one, which is the top form, which is the khilafah, that you establish the khilafah to actually witness with an entity, with a political entity. But that's how we witness. But we don't go and knock on doors, we don't do that. I mean, if you want to do it, you can do it. But no, that's the way that you do it, that when people see you, they see Islam. And you can tell why, you know, because we're not doing that, unfortunately. We're not doing that. So this is the witnessing. Now, for you to witness, whether in kalima, in action, or in governance, the individuals must have two qualities, two attributes, when it comes to the revelation. I came up, ya ikhwa, alhamdulillah, with an abstract of yani a small, it's a mimatn, yani. Look at this, al-wahyu, the revelation. If you look at the revelation and examine it, imma akhbar, you will find it categorized into matters of unseen. Allah is telling us things that we cannot verify with our senses. Like, we don't see Allah, do we? Right? Angels. Day of judgment. Allah is telling us about the people of Nuh, the people of Ad, the people of Thamud. Have you seen those? Right? So this, what we call what? Unseen. We call this what? Unseen. So this is the first part of the revelation. The second is the commands. Do this, do not do that. Do and don't. Now for you to witness effectively, you must have tasdeeq towards the unseen and tatbeeq towards the commands. You must believe without any shadow of doubt any unseen Allah told you in the Quran. You don't question it. Even if it doesn't make sense to you. Tasdeeq. Like I tell you, last night, you know, I'm staying in the Holiday Inn Express. So by all of a sudden, I'm in the top level. Subhanallah, by all of a sudden, the ceiling opened. And the rocket came down. And I went to the moon and I came back. Why are you laughing? What? You don't believe me, do you? You know, this is how it exactly sounded in Mecca when the Prophet ﷺ woke up one day and he said, I went to Jerusalem, I came back. Exactly. Right? Illogical, right? That's why the disbelievers, they said what? We beat the necks of camels 40 days to get there. And he went, and by the way, he didn't tell them about the Mi'raj. He just told them about what? He didn't tell them the Mi'raj issue. He told them the Isra only. Some of you actually may hear this for the first time, that some Muslims actually left Islam because of this. Because for them was what? طب when they went to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, ما هو right here. I just want to convey that concept of تصديق in a nutshell here. We can talk about it in abundance. Huh? They told him what? Your friend what? What did he say? What did Abu Bakr say? What was his only reservation? Okay, did he say that? That's all. Did Allah say that? Did the messenger say that? Khalas. I believe it. I know that he's the all-knower. Right? His knowledge. So why would I question something like that? هكذا التصديق. طيب, the commands. You raise your hand. You say what? We hear and we obey. And subhanAllah, the entire surah was named after the story of the compliance. Yani, although if you look at Surah Al-Baqarah, there are something like 7 out of this world stories. Huh? Al-Baqarah, Ibrahim and the birds, Ibrahim and Namrud, Talut wa Jalut. Huh? What else out there? Uzair. There is one more I forgot here. But why the surah was named after Al-Baqarah? Because it serves that purpose. If some of you are not familiar with the story of Al-Baqarah, it's Israeliyat. We don't believe it, we don't believe it. But the story reads that some guy killed his uncle and he dragged his body to some other Sibt. When Bani Israel were living in the desert, they were divided into 12 tribes. So in the morning, they accused this tribe of murder. They said, no, we never killed the guy. We don't know anything about him. So they started quarreling. So they said to, they started fighting. Then they said, why do we fight when we have someone who can speak to Allah amongst us? Someone who can actually solve that crime. The mystery. So they went to Musa alayhi salam. Musa made dua. Then he told them what? Allah is commanding you to do what? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرَةً. Allah is commanding you to slaughter a cow. Again, quite frankly, yani, for the sake of what is the relationship between figuring out a murderer and slaughtering a cow? Logically, it doesn't click. But you don't do this with Allah. With Allah, it's going to click somehow. With the commands, you're supposed to say what? I hear and what? I hear and what? I hear and what? Obey. Sami'na. Don't find, look at Bani Israel, what they did. Which color, what cow. That's many Muslims do this now. Is hijab in the Quran? Yeah, it is in the Quran, sister. It's, but. For the two qualities that you must have to witness are what? Tasdeeq and tatbeeq, compliance. You can say them in English, attestation and compliance. Amazing, at the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, now we're going to explain from 1 until 21. Allah started the chapter with categorizing mankind into 3 types. The type who will witness, al-mu'minun, the kuffar and al-munafiqun. 3 types. And Allah mentioned the 2 qualities that you must have in order to be fall into what? The category who will witness. Look at this. Alif, 5 verses. The first 5 verses. Alif, lam, mim, dhalika al-kitabu la rayba fi hudal muttaqin. Look at the first quality. What's tasdeeq? Alladina yu'minuna bil-ghayb. Tasdeeq. Wa yuqimuna تطبيق ومما رزقناهم تطبيق والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل تصديق. Then the كافرين, two verses. إن الذين كفروا سواء عليهم أنذرتهم. Then the hypocrites, 11. Because you need to be able to identify them. And then comes in the first call in the Quran, يا أيها الناس. Which is verse 21. I really want you to witness for me. Now, so I really want you to witness for me. So the only way for you to do this is if you engage into the actions of the first category. Amazing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until verse 143, will present to us three models. The first is experimental. The story of Adam and Satan. The second is cautionary. The story of Bani Israel. And the third is exemplary. Uswi. Ibrahim and his family. That's all until one verse 143. Allah will show you how the test is. That is why the story of Adam is presented. In that story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you that there is an enemy out there who would make sure that you fail witnessing. He's going to be after you. And this is his tricks, his trickery. And what should you do if you fail? Tawbah. For the story of Adam and Satan really was placed in the Mus'haf as an experiment. And yani there are evidence to validate the claim. Yani. One of them is Hadith Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu fi Sahih al-Imam al-Bukhari that Musa alayhi salatu wa salam met Adam alayhi salam in the night of al-Isra when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa led all the messengers in Salah in the Masjid al-Aqsa. Musa alayhi salatu wa salam approached Adam alayhi salatu wa salam and he said to him, you are Adam, our father, you're the one who got us out of the garden. Adam looked at him and he said, you are Musa, the one that Allah wrote the scripture, the Torah with his hands. He said, yes. Didn't you read in the Torah that this was something that is ordained upon me? Now, again, be careful we don't use the qadr here to justify, because Adam repented from the sin. So he may do that. But it is written. Also, another hadith, خرجه الإمام مسلم, حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه, the best day the sun ever rose on is which day? Huh? Friday. Why? Why? Adam was created on this day. Adam was admitted into Jannah. Here's the interesting piece. And Adam exited Jannah. So what was good in that? Adam exiting Jannah. His kids learning the whole cycle of the test. You're getting it or no? You understand the essence of it or no? The second, that is, if you look at the Mus'haf here, of course, 30 until 39 is the story of Adam. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا الْآيَاتِ. Then comes in the next, which verses 40 all the way, by the way, all the way, just move up 40 until 123. This part of it. This is Bani Israel. Allah is telling you, don't be like them. If you want a witness, don't be like those people. Don't mimic them. ولك يا إخوة, so amazing in the Mus'haf, the first يا أيها الذين آمنوا. Anyone knows what is the first يا أيها الذين آمنوا in the Mus'haf? I think 104, 103 or 106, around that. Verse 104, 103, 106. يا أيها الذين آمنوا, right? What does it say? يا أيها الذين آمنوا. Huh? لا تقولوا راعنا, سبحان الله. لا تقولوا راعنا. Don't say that word that they used to say. Don't mimic them. Don't be like them. لا تقولوا راعنا. You guys know, you're familiar with the story behind راعنا, that they used to say راعنا in an insulting way to the Prophet. Of course, the word, it's an Arabic word, which basically when you want to tell somebody like, be mindful of me, you tell him راعنا. But when you twist the words رعونا, which means arrogance, so it can be insulting. Exactly like when they would pass by the Prophet ﷺ and they say Assamu, and it sounds like what? Assalamu alayka. But instead of saying Assalam, they say what? Assam. What is the difference between Assam and Salam? Peace and death. Right? That's why Aisha radiallahu anha would get very upset, and she would run after them, you know, cursing them. And the Prophet said, Aisha, you know, chill, just leave them alone, you know. Ya ayyuha alladhina la taqulu ra'ina. Why don't be like them, by the way? Because they failed in all aspects. But be careful. Be careful. Not all of them. That is why, ya ikhwa, sometimes amongst these verses, you will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually making an exception. Like the famous verse, which some of the progressive Muslims use to validate that, you know, Jews and Christians are going to go to Jannah, like us, and which verse 62, right? Look at verse 62. A famous verse that people use, the progressive people, you know, the people who really are not grounded in the knowledge of Aqeedah and Islam, they would use. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالنَّصَارَى وَالصَّابِئِينَ. I said, oh, نَصَارَى وَصَابِئِينَ جَنَّوا. You see, those are exception from what? From those people Allah has spoken about. You guys getting it or no? So it's like Allah is telling you those guys are bad, 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 bad. But look, there are some of those. They are not all like that. And I will reward those. Now the problem with Muslims is what? They extend that beyond what? To our time. La. You have to contextualize it. You have to keep it in context, historical context. Likewise, by the way, in fairness also, when Allah tells us about, oh, be mean to them, don't take them for friends, don't... Likewise, this has to be given a context. Not everybody, but those who are hostile to you, those who are bad to you. But the others, you're supposed to be, what? I mean, how are you going to give them da'wah if you're going to... You have to what? Also give it a context too. You're getting the point or no? Take for example, we're supposed to believe without seeing Allah. What did they say to Musa? وَقَالُوا لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى They want to see Allah to believe. I know. They killed the prophets. They killed the messengers. They messed up the books. So don't be like them. Again, because of the time, you know, I have a book, by the way, called Roadmap to Al-Baqarah Al-Imran. It's available on my website for free. You can PDF it for free. You can buy it from Amazon if you want. But all of this is there, alhamdulillah. I called it Roadmap to Al-Baqarah Al-Imran. I was actually in Birmingham doing Green Lane Masjid. I did this in a weekend workshop for the people there. They enjoyed it. The book is there, PDF, in my website. Maybe the brothers can share the link with you. طيب. Look at the third one, which is what? Ibrahim, huh? 124, exemplary. The least I can tell you, that Bani Israel were asked to slaughter a cow. They were reluctant. Ibrahim was asked to slaughter who? Who? You're talking about? That shows you the caliber. And amazing, by the way, you'll be surprised to find out that Ismail, Ibrahim alayhi salam, was actually commanded through a mutual form of revelation shared with us, which is what? We know revelations are what? Al-Wahy is levels that Jibreel comes, huh? Or Allah would inspire you. But there is a form that is shared between the prophets and the layman, me and you, which is what? Dreams. So Ibrahim was commanded to slay his son in what? This is the lowest. This is the, yani, I wouldn't say the lowest, but with the prophets it's authentic, because we know that shayateen don't come to the prophets in their dreams. But, you know, anyone in his mind who loves his son would say, okay, you know what? I'm willing to do it, but I'll wait for another confirmation. He didn't do that. Even his son knew that. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعْهُ السَّعْيَ قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ افْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ. We can mess around this. Good? Good enough? Imagine we explain the first juz of the Quran. The first juz right here. Until one verse 143. Right? The first juz. There are three types of people in this world. Believers, disbelievers, hypocrites. You have the choice. Which one would you like to be? It's your choice. You want a witness for me? These are the two qualities that you must have in order to witness, to actualize that witnessing. In the words, in the actions, leading, inshallah, to the khilafah, establishing the khilafah. Now, learn from history. Who is your enemy? Adam. Don't be like the children of Israel when it comes to these things. Be like Ibrahim. That is why, ya ikhwa, subhanAllah, every year Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes multitudes of this ummah to go and just walk through the footsteps of Ibrahim. Hajj and Umrah, I mean. Hajj and Umrah is all about Ibrahim, centered, if you, to remind you of his sacrifices. Because هذا هو النموذج الأسوي في القرآن. He's always presented to us to be the exemplary. Even to our messenger, by the way. ثم أوحينا إليك أن اتبع ملة إبراهيم حنيفة. Amazing, يا إخوة, with the identification verse, the ID verse. What number is the ID verse? 143. That's your ID. SubhanAllah comes in the change of the Qibla in the same time. Being witnesses, you can't be following other people. Even in good things. You have to be what? Distinct. You have to be different. Some of you may not know that the Muslims used to pray toward Jerusalem until this verse was revealed. Even in Mecca, by the way, they used to pray toward Jerusalem. But in Mecca, it was not an issue, because if you take one corner of the Kaaba, you could end up what? Facing both. But in Medina, it became what? Because you couldn't do that in Medina.
And for your information, this is one of the reasons which deter Bani Israel, the Jews, from following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said he's following our Qibla. Why would we? He's praying to our Qibla. That's why Allah immediately, after that verse, no, you have a different Qibla now. That is why سَيَقُولُ السُّفَهَا. That's why they didn't like this one, by the way. They didn't like it. Because now they understood that they have to follow him. Which they declined anyways. That shows you, ikhwah, subhanAllah, yani. When it comes to rituals, yani, the Prophet ﷺ tells you what? Dye your beard. The Jews do not dye their beards. Bani Israel do not. Brain your shoes. They don't brain their shoes. Ashura, fasting. Okay, we're going to fast one day before, one day after. Can't be. It can be. Look at these guys in Emirat. They are building what? Abrahamic. Wakus. They don't even get it. You can be. Well, that's why, subhanAllah, in America in particular, they end up doing putting all these, and I'm not sure here in England they do this or not, they put together these masjid, synagogue, and church in one what? In these public areas, in the airports, in the... You have this here too? Yeah, you see, it's a whole thing, is it? For you what? This thing becomes what? No, you can't do that. We tell our community, don't pray. Pray in the street. The Prophet said, جُعِلَتْ لِيَ الْأَرْضُ. What? The Prophet said, earth is my masjid for me. We know that all of earth is masjid, except al-hammam, mawada al-ibil, certain areas, yani, and the graveyards. But you can pray anywhere. You don't have to have a... Actually, you're supposed to pray anywhere, so that, remember the action thing, remember the witnessing in action, so they see you praying. That's why the Qibla. You have a different direction now. But subhanAllah, ikhwa, right away comes in, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ista'inu bis sabri wa salah. Inna allaha ma sabirin. Wa la taqulu liman yuqtalu fi sabirillahi amwat. Bal ahya'u walakin la tash'urun. Wa lanabluwannakum bishay'in minal khawfi wal ju'r. Allah is telling you what? You're going to be tested. They're going to come after you. So you have to be patient now. That's why these verses comes right after that Qibla. Because you're going to be what? Distinct. You're not going to be their follower. You're going to say, no, I'm sorry, I'm different. I can. Then you're going to be tested. So... amazing, you will find the surah all the way until the last three verses, which you asked me to explain. How long I still have? Time-wise, please. 10? Yeah, we're doing good. Imagine the entire chapter all the way until the last three verses. Now is the curriculum, the guidelines, the blueprint, the scripture. What you're supposed to implement and convey. And always, when you want to encapsulate this and put this in a... All the commands in the religion of Islam, whether it is a prophetic command or a Quranic command or a prohibition, are geared to protect five things. To make sure that these five things exist. The scholars call them what? Ad-daruriyatul khams, the five necessity. Number one, hifdhuddin, the religion. That's why salah in Surah Al-Baqarah. That's why fasting. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayat Al-Sawm, isn't ayat al-fisam in surah al-baqarah ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kutiba alaykum siyamu kama kutiba alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun sahih hajj wa atimmu al-hajja in that section too hifdhu al-deen zakah two hifdhu al-nafs the protection of the human life soul the sanctity of life. By the way, whether Muslim or non-Muslim. وَذَاكِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِصَاصُ فِي الْقَتْلَى الْحُرُّ بِالْحُرِّ وَالْعَبْدُ بِالْعَبْدِ وَالْأُنْثَى بِالْأُنْثَى وَلَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاةٌ By establishing that law of retribution, you can save a lot of lives. When killers would see that there will be a recompense for their transgression, basically. Hifdhul what? What is number three? Hifdhul al-nasl, the next generation. That's why, subhanAllah, when you recite Surah Al-Baqarah, by all of a sudden you find the Quran going into talaq, zawaj, divorce, marriage, life. Well, this has to do with the family. People think that these verses are just added up brand. No. Allah is telling you, we have to protect the next generation. Now I'm going to talk to you about who to marry. وَلَا تَنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنْ وَالْأَمَةٌ مُؤْمِنَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِنْ مُشْرِكَةٍ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ طلاق, divorce. طب what happened if there was وَالْوَالِدَاتُ يُرْضَعْنَ أَوْلَادَهُنَّ حَوْلِ عِدَّةٌ Deen, ya ikhwa, religion that tells you what to do with your life. Then comes in what? حفظ العقل. That's why there is a verse, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ Then the wealth, subhanAllah, the protection of the wealth. Imagine the longest verse in the Quran is about the protection of the wealth. Which is ayatul what? It's called ayatul what? Huh? Ayatul dayn. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu idha tadayantum bidaynin ila ajalin musamman faktubu. So for all the commands, you will find all these verses here are building this. How many minutes I still have? Seven? Five. Imagine now I'm going to start, now I can explain the last three verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. Jibreel alayhi salam comes down to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and whatever I'm saying is fi sahih al-Imam Muslim hadith Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu with this verse 284. Look at verse 284. What does it say? لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ Allah is telling you that whether you reveal or conceal what you're thinking about, you're a sinner. You getting the point or no? That when you think about something haram, it's written as if you did it. Oh yeah. Well, that's what the verse says. The companions of the Prophet, the hadith, I'm quoting the hadith, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to him kneeling. They went down on their knees. Jathu ala rukab. They said, جَاءَنَا مَا لَا نُطِيْهُ We can handle this. أُمِرْنَا بِالصَّلَاةِ قُلْنَا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا أُمِرْنَا بِالْجِهَادِ قُلْنَا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا You commanded us jihad, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا صلاة, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا زكاة, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا But this one, again, يا إخوة, never in your mind think that the companions are rejecting. لا. Sahaba, they always strive to attain excellence in implementing the command. They don't settle for what. And quite frankly, this is what? This is a tough one. But look what the Prophet said to them. He reminded them of the cautionary tale. He said to them, أتريدون أن تقولوا كما قال أهل الكتابين من قبلكم. Are you going to say like the followers of the two books before you? What did they say? What they used to say? سمعنا and what? We hear and what? عصينا. We hear and we disobey. قولوا سمعنا وأطع. Sorry, did I scare you? Man, I get excited sometimes. I'm sorry. قولوا سمعنا وأطع. Say we hear and we obey, even to this one. شوف أبو هريرة إخوة, I love والله. فزلت بها ألسنتهم. You know the word زلت, you know what? اللي هو بنسميه slip of a tongue. Their tongue what? Slipped, not from sleeping. The slippery thing, the slip. Huh? زلت. Like, سمعنا وطعنا. So Allah, when the Prophet said, say سمعنا وطعنا. سمعنا وطعنا. Well, that tells you that in their heart they never had an intention to what? Well, listen, sometimes somebody comes to you and says, well, you know, I ask you a question. And then when you answer him and you show him the evidence, if he really was seeking the truth, he will say, okay, I'll do it. But if he's not, he's going to give you another question. No, the companions will do it. Subhanallah, as soon as they said sami'na wa ata'na, Jibreel, by the way, was sitting next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qala ya Rasulallah, hadith ibn Abbas, this is another hadith, fi Sahih al-Bukhari. They heard a crack. He said, ya Rasulallah, this is a gate in heaven for the first time to open, and this is an angel who never been given permission to come down to earth before. This is his first time. He brought down the last two verses which were supposed to explain. Look at this now. That's why I told you the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah are a summary of the entire surah. Look at this. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله. This is the tasdeeq right here, tasdeeq. وَقَالُوا, that's the tatbeeq. They said, we hear an obey. غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا came in the abrogation, اللي هو النسخ. لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا. You're only going to be accountable for you, what you actually what? Do. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت. ويا إخوة, ورد في الحديث إن any time that you actually make this دعاء you're gonna get ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا, ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا, ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به, واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا, أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. I finished in the 45 minutes, did I? خلاص, I'm done. I did it. خلاص, that's it. By the way, all of this, alhamdulillah, I have it in a book called Road Map to Al-Baqarah wa Ala Imran. I called it actually Road Map to the Twins. I called Al-Baqarah Ala Imran Twins because they are twins. You're going to enjoy if you read it. It's available for free. I'm not selling books here, for free. جزاكم الله خيرا. Whatever you want me to, I don't know who's in charge here, but if you want me to stop, stop. You know, I talk for a living, so I can talk until Fajr if you want.
Just to thank Sheikh Karim Abu Zaid, Jazakallahu khairan, for number one, first of all, visiting us at the center, inshallah, he hope he'll come again. Number two, for delivering this insightful talk about Surah Al-Baqarah. I think there's somebody from One Ummah here. Wanted to make a presentation, yeah, just a few minutes, just to... the